This is John Whiting for Pacifica Radio in London. We are now broadcasting a reading by the American poet Muriel Rukeyser, recorded on January 18, 1972 at Better Books, one of London's major poetry centers. It faces directly onto Charing Cross Road, and so we must apologize for the steady roar of traffic in the background. Ms. Rukeyser is introduced by Eric Mottram, lecturer in American Literature at King's College, University of London.
I think the best thing to do, but just in case that some of you don't know about the books, the things, and so on.
I'm beginning here.
I think
here.
That's a clear one, right? You've
I'm
heard
it
once
before,
here. Twice before.
The next place. It's making a whole beginning here, and I need Eric.
Well, it's like this, that the first book of poems came out in 1935, called A Theory of Flight. And in that poem, in that book of poems, it's very much a matter of the 30s, I think, in the sense of that struggle to make some kind of political and personal integrity through the poetry that Muriel was involved in. It's not a very broad thing to say. What I'm talking about is the kind of engagement that she's been into all her life. That is a poem trying to seek the poem which orders the social vision and the private and intimate one at the same time. She's born in New York City, where she lives today, and the Wall Street crash occurred when she was still at high school. And as literary editor of the Student Review, when she was a student, she reported the famous and scandalous Scottsboro case, which was one of those trials, which I'm terribly familiar to us now, but this was in Alabama. Perhaps that'll convey to you something of what it was about. The words, her own words at that time, I want to quote to you. She was, unfortunately, things don't change all that much. Slow cruising cars, deputies, arrest, the brutality to the men and all the Negroes, the politeness to me, the accusations, the chase out of town, the typhoid afterwards. Then after various things like the Columbia Summer School, the Roosevelt Aviation School, and a number of offices, jobs and offices, she brought out this first book of poems I mentioned called Theory of Flight in 1935. She was sent to Spain and arrived on the first day of the Civil War, and then followed, as she says in one of her statements, jobs with statistics, with films, with photographs. And then the second book of poems in 1938 called US-1, written in California. One of these sets of poems in this book, again, they're a political set, the Gawley Bridge poems, are very much to do with the political scene that is in America, in Virginia in this case. There was to do with the miners, the silicosis poisoning in 1939. This series of poems was translated into film scripts. The next book, finished in Mexico, published in 1939, was called Turning Wind. And in that, there's a poem on the American scientist, Willard Gibbs, which is related to the magnificent biography she wrote of Gibbs in 1942. Which I think is a way of introducing the relationship of science and poetry in Muriel's work, which goes right up to one of the two books that we're celebrating in London right now, first, the Traces of Thomas Harriot, which is about this great Elizabethan experimental figure, one of whose actions is in physics, and another in astronomy. Kind of connection between physics, science, politics, and the personal establishment in poetry is really the kind of tripartite center of her work. Well, after that, there's Wake Island, 1942.
That isn't any good.
Beast in View, I know, 1944. The Green Wave, 1948. Two books in 49, Orpheus and Elegies. And then the book in which everything really is so beautifully collected, called Water Lily Fire. These are this is collected poems in a sense. It's selected and collected up to 1961. I also should mention a book called, she wrote, called The Life of Poetry, which came out in 1949. It's a prose work, a beautiful work about just what it's like to be a poet in the kind of world she's lived in. One Life, 1957, is a very interesting work. Its work combines prose and poetry to form a new kind of political biography, and it concerns the life of Wendell Willkie and his world. In 1965, there is a book called The Orgy, which is a prose work concerning the Puck Fair and her relationship to it in Killaudlin in County Kerry in Ireland. Beautiful work. That's about the long and short of it. The last book before the one that came out in this country this week, 29 Poems, which is on sale at paperback now, was The Speed of Darkness, which appeared in 1968, with another one of those beautiful long poems that she's done so well, called The Outer Banks, which I hope she'll read tonight. Mary Rukeyser is one of America's most distinguished poets. And I think it's very good that she's reading at least three times in this country on this visit. Although she comes here quite a lot, she doesn't read all that much. So I'd like to introduce you to everybody in Europe.
He makes it sound very coherent. Thank you. You know, it isn't exactly like that. It's doing maybe one poem again and again and again all one's life. It's trying for a language of process, a language of transformation, I suppose. Yes. I know that was what the Gibbs was about. I went around trying to get proper people, some proper person to write that book. I only wanted to read it. The only way you can read these books sometimes is to write them. The Harriet book is like that too. And they're after me for that, I think. But they're right, you know. Should have done it themselves. The poems are at the middle of it. The others are footnotes. I couldn't say that except to people like you who are deep in poems. But they're footnotes. They feed back in. They make jobs. But these poems and the silences in them and around them, yes, we are about them. And this history of science, this history of poetry and the poems to come, they are held together in our skins and in the air between us and nowhere else. That is where they are. And I'm very glad to be here and reading poems to you. I'm very glad this book, these few poems, are out here now. I wanted to reach you. Song. A voice flew out of the river as morning flew out of the body of night. A voice sending out from the night of the sleeping morning. A voice in its own voice, naked, made of the whole body and the whole life, but without anything. Breath. Breath of a fire. Love. Smoke of the poems. Voices. This is a very short one. It has some air in it, a space, and Eric said, read the space. In our time, in our period, they say there is free speech. They say there is no penalty for poets. There is no penalty for writing poems. They say this. This is the penalty. I'll start with these short ones. Try to surround something and walk in on it. I don't know how the translation of the American things and the American speech you know from everywhere. I don't know how this can sound to you at all. This is another very short one called Gift. The child, the poems, the child, the poems. The journeys back and forth across our long country of opposites and through myself, through you, away from you, toward you. The dreams of madness and of an impossible, complete time. Gift, be forgiven. This is called Among Roses. Lying here among grass, am I dead, am I sleeping, amazed among silences. You touch me never. Here deep under, the small white moon cries like a dime, and so I hear the sun gone copper, or I dissolve, no touch, no touch, attack. Land denies my death, my fallen hand. Silence runs down the riverbeds. One tall wind walks over my skin. Breeze, memory, bears to my body as the world fades. Going in very late in the world's night. To see roses opening, remember love lying among roses. Did we not lie among roses? You know the ways of body painting. This is a kind of body painting. It comes out of a way that the very Northwest Indians in America, on the west coast of Canada, where those rivers and glaciers and islands are, the Thompson River Indians, they are. And I call it clues. How will you catch these clues at the moment of waking? Take them, make them yours. Wake, do you? And light the lamp of sharpest, whitest beam. And write them down in the room of night on white night opening. And opening white paper under white light. Write what streamed from you in darkness into you. By dark. Indian Baptiste saying, we painted our dreams. We painted our dreams on our faces and bodies. We took them into us by painting them on ourselves. When we saw the water mystery of the lake after the bad dream, we painted the lines and masks. When the bear wounded me, I painted for healing. When we were told in our dreams, in the colors of day, red for earth, black for the opposite, rare green, white, yellow. When I dreamed of weeping and dreamed of sorrow, I painted my face with tears, with joy. Our ghost painting and our dreams of war. The whole brow, the streak, the hands and sex, the breast, the spot of white, one hand black, one hand red, the morning star appearing over the hill. We took our dreams into ourselves. We took our dreams into our bodies. This is a, not a song really, an interlude. in that weird book, Wilkie, whom everybody hates. You know, everybody said, why a book about Wilkie's Kiss of Death? And it is. It is. He was hated at some time by everybody. He had in himself and acted out almost every one of the conflicts. It moves in among the conflicts. They can be seen, and therefore the prose, the documents, I let in the documents of that time, and the poems. And this came out of my time in those fields. That was Scottsboro. It wasn't grand, it wasn't freedom riding that way, or they say now, you know, they say you were the first freedom riders. It was going down, and we had borrowed a car, and my father at the end said, you can't drive down in that, you take the car. And being arrested when we were asleep in the car, you know, it's never what they say it is. It's always much more than they say it is. Much looser, much more. And this is a transition called from its first line, Fields Where We Slept. It comes into the Wilkie properly because those fields are now part of a system of dams. And that system of dams in picture looks so much like one's life. I mean, broken here, stopped there, the water controlled here, stopped there. A system of dams. Fields where we slept lie underwater now. Clay meadows of nightmare beneath the shallow wave. A tremor of speech on all lips and all mirrors. Pink sweater and tornado act out the spiral dawn. South lies evocative on one fine Negro mouth. Play of silver in streams, half lake under. High on the unplowed red and water weeds respond where sheriff fever ordered me to trial. Where once hatred and fear touched me the branch of death, I may float waves of making hung above my lost field. Remember, they say, and incarnatus est, the fire-tailed waves. Never forget the eyes of the distorted jailers or their kindness even when they were torturing Mr. Crystal. Psalms, awake and asleep. Remember the man-made lake where those barren tree crowns ride. That's road, that's not ride. Where air of curses hung, keel of my calm, rides our created tide. I lived in the first century of world wars. Most mornings I would be more or less insane. The newspapers would arrive with their careless stories. The news would pour out of various devices, interrupted by attempts to sell products to the unseen. I would call my friends on other devices. They would be more or less mad for similar reasons. Slowly, I would get to pen and paper, make my poems for others, unseen and unborn. In the day, I would be reminded of those men and women, brave, setting up signals across vast distances, considering a nameless way of living, of almost unimagined values. As the lights darkened, as the light of night brightened, we would try to imagine them, try to find each other, to construct peace, to make love, to reconcile waking with sleeping, ourselves with each other, ourselves with ourselves. We would try by any means to reach the limits of ourselves, to reach beyond ourselves, to let go the means, to wake. I lived in the first century of those wars. This is quite other order, called the Conjugation of the Paramecium. This has nothing to do with propagating. The species is continued, as so many are, among the smaller creatures, by fission. And this species is very small, next in order to the amoeba, the beginning one. The paramecium achieves, then, immortality by dividing. But when the paramecium desires renewal, strength, another joy, this is what the paramecium does. The paramecium lies down beside another paramecium. Slowly, inexplicably, the exchange takes place, in which some bits of the nucleus of each are exchanged for some bits of the nucleus of the other. This is called the conjugation of the paramecium. These are very new ones, written after the book. One is called Myth. Long afterwards, Oedipus, old and blind, walked the roads. He smelled a familiar smell. It was the Sphinx. I want to ask you one question, he said. Why didn't I recognize my mother? You gave the wrong answer, said the Sphinx. No, he said, that was what made everything possible. When I asked, what is it walks on four legs in the morning, two legs at noon, three legs at evening? You said man. You didn't say anything about women. But everybody knows, said Oedipus, when you say man, you include woman. She said, that's what you think. This is a group called the Outer Banks. It's the landscape poem of that looking for Thomas Harriot. That's a man of possibility who links these countries, these sides of an ocean, these heresies, this breaking of the religious, political, scientific penalties. The penalties were all around him, all these powerful, attractive people his friends, his patrons. They got theirs. Drowning, burning, heads off. That's Raleigh. That's Marlowe. That's Bruno. What happened to Spencer's family? Why was Northumberland put in the Tower for the rest of his life, really? Was it just to straighten the border? Is it possible, as a historian here has asked, that Pocahontas could have had the telescope before Galileo did, since Harriet, who had the telescope, was in the New World, and since the sailors jettisoned books and five-strand pearl necklace for the queen and the mathematical instruments to get off those sandbars. And those sandbars are the landscape of imagination, opening and closing like the bars of the I Ching. They wanted to be got off. They'd been there for a year. This is failure, you know, the failure of the New World, the failure of America. Many, many questions come up in the course of this. How does it fail? Is the garden of the Bank of England, where Harriet was buried, this is this rectangle of your marvelous green, completely surrounded by money. Is this the other face of America? Why is there a statue of Ariel within the wall of a bank? What really happened to Marlowe? A sexual murder? A double political murder? Are politics and sex separated? Why should a she-poet come and touch this? Why were there no she-poets in the Elizabethan period? Many questions. I would go down again and again to those sandbars. It's North Carolina now. I would go down originally because I was interested in flying, and my parents wouldn't sign the contract letting me fly because I was underage and I was doing all of that, and that's called theory of flight in the texts in America. And nothing fancy, you know, theory of flight had to do with the old radial engine. But everything, angle of attack, the Wright brothers watching seagulls. But down there, there's a memorial maybe on that dune, but because the dunes shift all the time, the way the sandbars shift in their openings and closings, the truncated wing of granite and stainless steel and the very shallow waters of the Sound and Roanoke Island, where Harriet was for a year, mapping, talking to the Indians in their own language, which she took the trouble to learn, bringing them a Bible. He was called atheist here, and he got his, not much, not as much as Marlowe, but involved in the Marlowe accusations. He told them that they needn't rub the Bible all over themselves. It wasn't that kind. But it might be, you know. The Outer Banks. It's a group. I'll pause. The truncated wing is the monument to the Wright brothers. The spiral lighthouse at the other end of the line is Hatteras Light. Outside of that sound and those sandbars, there's a terrific meeting of the north and south currents. Diamond Shoals, graveyard of ships, all of that. The Outer Banks. Horizon of islands shifting, sea light, flame on my voice, burn in me, light, flows from the water, from sands, islands of this horizon. The sea comes toward me across the sea. The sand moves over the sand in waves between the guardians of this landscape. The great commemorative statue on one hand, the first flight of man outside of dream, seen as stone wing and stainless steel. And at the other hand, banded black and white, climbing the spiral lighthouse. Flood over ocean, avalanche on the flat beach, pouring. Indians holding branches up to placate the tempest. The one-legged twisting god that is a standing wind. Rays are branching from all things. Great serpent, great plume, constellation. Sand from which colors and light pass. The lives of plants, animals, men. A man and a woman reach for each other. Wave of the sea. Sands have washed. Sea has flown over us. Between the two guardians, spiral, truncated wing, history and these wild birds. Bird-voiced discoverers, Harriet, Hart Crane, the brothers who watch gulls. No bird soars in a calm, said Wilbur Wright. Dragon of the winds forms over me. Your dance, goddesses, in your circle, sea wreath, whirling of the event behind me on land, as deep in our own lives we begin to know the movement to come. Sunken, drowned spirals, hurricane dance, shifting of islands on this horizon, the cycle of changes in the book of changes, two islands making an open female line, that powerful long straight bar, a male island, the building of the surf, constructing immensities, between the pale flat sound an ocean ever, birds as before earthquake. Winds fly from all origins. The length of this wave goes from the great wing down coast, the barrier beach in all its miles. Road of the sun and the moon, to a spiral lighthouse, to the depth turbulence lifts up its wave like cities. The ocean in the air spills down the world. A man is walking toward me across the water from far out, the flat waters of the sound. He walks pulling his small boat in the shoal water. A man who is white and has been fishing walks steadily upon the light of day, coming closer to me where I stand, looking into the sun and the blaze inner water, clear factual surface over which he pulls a boat over a closing quarter mile. Speak to it, says the light. Speak to it, music. Voices of the sea in human throats, origins of spirals. The ballad, an original sweet grape, dark on the vines near Hatteras, tendrils of these vines, whose spiral tower now rears its light, accompanying all my voices. He walks toward me, a black man in the sun. He now is a black man speaking to my heart, crisis of darkness, in this century of moments of this speech. The boat is slowly nearer drawn, this man. The zigzag power coming straight. in stones, in arcs, metal, crystal, the spiral, its sacred wet schematic elements of cities, music, arrangement, spins these stones of home under the sea. Return to the stations of the stars and the sea speaking across its lives. A man who has bones is close to me, drawing a boat of bones. The sun behind him is another color of fire. The sea behind me rears its flame. A man whose body flames and tapers in flame. Twisted tines of remembrance that dissolve. A pitchfork of the land worn thin. Flame up and dissolve again. Draw small boat. Nets of the stars at sunset over us. This draws me home to the home of the wild birds, long-throated birds of this passage. This is the edge of experience. Grenzen der Seele, where those on the verge of human understanding, the borderline people, stand on the shifting islands among the drowned stars and the tempest. Every man's mind, like the dumbest, claws at his own furthest limits of knowing the world. And the accused boy on land today saying, what did I say? Or did I say? The dream on land last night built this, the boat of death, but in the suffering of the light moving across the sea, do we in our moving move toward life or death? Hurricane, skull face, the sky's size, wind streaming through his teeth, doing the madman's twist, and not a beach, not flooded. Nevertheless, here, stability of light, my other silence. And at my left hand and at my right hand, no longer wing and lighthouse, no longer the guardians, they are in me. In my speechless life of barrier beach, as it lies open to the night out there. Now seeing my death before me, starting again among the drowned men, desperate men, unprotected discoverers. Open to the sky, I stand before this boat that looks at me. The man's flames are arms and legs, body, eyes, head, stars, sands, look at me. I walk out into the shoal water and throw my leg over the wall of the boat. At one shock, speechlessness, I'm in the bow, on the short thwart. He is standing before me amidships, rowing forward like my old northern sea captain in his dory. All things have spun, the words gone, I facing sternwards, looking at the gate between the barrier islands. As he rows, sand islands shifting, and the last of land, a pale and open line, horizon, sea. With whose face did he look at me? What did I say? Or did I say? In speechlessness, move to the change. These strokes provide the music, and the man before me, here, stroke by stroke, drawing us. Over there, father of rhythms, deep wave, mother. There is no out there. All is open, open water, open eye. The wreck of the tiger, the early pirate, the blood clam's ark, the tern's acute eye, all buried mathematical instruments, castaways, pelicans, drowned five-strand pearl necklaces, hopes of livelihood, hopes of grace. Walls of houses, sepia sea fences, the writhing octopus, and those tall masts and sails. Marked hulls of ships. And last month's plane dipping his salute to the stone wing of dream. Turbulence, diamond shoals, the dark, young, living people. Sing one more song and you are under arrest. Sing another song. Women, ships, lost voices. Whatever has dissolved into our waves, I, a lost voice, moving, calling you, on the edge of the moment that is now the center, from the open sea. Read one or two. Fairly, one or two short ones and a group, and then stop. If you feel like talking afterwards, I'd be glad to. I myself have never asked a question after hearing poems, and terrible things come from what they call the floor, but this is a real floor, and maybe, you know. So if there is anything you'd like to. Whatever. Despisals. In the human cities, never again to despise the backside of the city, the ghetto, or build it again as we build the despised backsides of houses. Look at your own building. You are the city. Among our secrecies, not to despise our Jews, that is, ourselves, or our darkness, our blacks, or in our sexuality, wherever it take us, now we know we are productive, too reproductive for our own invention. Never to despise the homosexual who goes building another with touch, not to despise any touch. Each like himself, like herself, each. You are this. In the body's ghetto, never to go despising the asshole, nor the useful shit that is our clean clue to what we need. Never to despise the clitoris in her least speech. Never to despise in myself what I have been taught to despise. Not to despise the other, not to despise the it, to make this relation with the it, to know that I am it. It's called Secrets of American Civilization. It's for Staunton Lind. Jefferson spoke of freedom, but he held slaves. Were 10 of them his sons by black women? Did he sell them? Or was his land their graves? Do we, asking our questions, become more human? Are our rights the parable, which having we all have, we all know, we all can move? Then they said, the earth belongs to the living. We refuse allegiance, we resign office, and we love. They are writing at their desks, the thinking fathers. They do not recognize their live sons' faces. Slave and slaveholder, they are chained together, and one is ancestor and one is child. Escape the birthplace. Walk into the world refusing to be either slave or slaveholder. I'd like to turn loose, but it's in my throat, too. It's called Rock Flow River Mix. Flickering. In the buildings they dance now, hip, face, and knee, dances I hunted for when at 19 I stood at the river here, the Hudson, hunting for Africa. Something rumored, caught, poured in shadow and light, face of ecstasy on film, swivel neck, eternal smile, suffer the night of, water flows down to today, black theater, road dusted with war, streaking down over our heads, setting before us, around us, the moment entire, soundtrack, silence, light track, dark, senses still undiscovered, not yet dreamed. This is a very American one that I might need, I don't know, some kind of translation. The only translation it needs, do you have this, do you have, what would it be called, some sort of sausage bar open to the street and on the counter two tanks, each with one word on it, one marked orange and one marked grape. That's a translation it needs. A hot dog stand open to a street corner. And those two tanks, those two words, orange, grape. I was working in East Harlem with a bunch of young writers, a table around which high school people sat. I would do a thing, take a good piece of bond typing paper and show it to them with its properties, with its potentials, and crumple it and throw it down. Here it is with its potentials now. Sometimes I say write, sometimes I say do something with it. You can get in trouble saying do something with it. The best of the boys lit a match, set fire to its paper. I burned halfway. I have that paper still. We know that very well. We know what it is, loud and clear. But what I really was trying to get at was do something with words. So he took another piece of paper and he wrote little and middle size and big, help, help, help. At 5:30 every afternoon, the white people go streaming out of Harlem with their attaché cases. Social workers, teachers, people on grants. Very hot summer afternoon, 5:30. And in one's guilt, one tries to stall it off a little. Well, I went across the street and down one block to that hot dog stand that was on the next corner. And that man had begun to talk to me. And I was there stalling it all off. I was thinking of air conditioning. It gets very hot and very impossible. And I knew I ought to be living there. You know, I should be living there. I was waiting for the building to be built where I am now living. This goes on and on in me all the time. I saw what he was doing. He was pouring dark purple drink into the machine marked orange, and he was pouring bright orange into the one marked drink. I said, how are we going to believe what we write and read across the street while you go under there. He looked at me, he laughed. He went on doing it, and I thought to myself, it's a lot like everything else. And I thought, something is beginning, there's a poem, you know. And I thought, what the hell form is a thing like that? And I thought, I'd be damned if I write a ballad. So it's a ballad of orange and grape. After you finish your work, after you do your day, after you've read your reading, after you've written your say, you go down the street to the hot dog stand, one block down and across the way, on a blistering afternoon in East Harlem in the 20th century. Most of the windows are boarded up, the rats run out of a sack, sticking out of the crummy garage, one shiny long Cadillac, At the glass door of the drug addiction center, a man would like to break your back. And he's a brown woman with a little girl dressed in rose and pink, too. Frankfurters, Frankfurters, sizzle on the steel where the hot dog man leans. Nothing else on the counter but the usual two machines, the grape one empty and the orange one empty. I face him in between. A black boy comes along, looks at the hot dog, goes on walking. I watch the man as he stands and pours in the familiar shape. Bright purple in the one marked orange, orange in the one marked grape, the grape drink in the machine marked orange, and orange drink in the grape. Just the one word, large and clear, unmistakable on each machine. I ask him, how can we go on reading and make sense out of what we read? How can they write and believe what they're writing, the young ones across the street, while you go on pouring grape into orange, and orange into the one marked grape? How are we going to believe what we read and we write and we hear and we say and we do? He looks at the two machines and he smiles, and he shrugs and smiles and pours again. It could be violence and nonviolence. It could be white and black, women and men. It could be war and peace, or any binary system, love and hate, enemy, friend, yes and no, be and not be, what we do and what we don't do. On a corner in East Harlem, garbage, breeding, a deep smile, rape, forgetfulness, a hot street of murder, misery, withered hope, a man keeps pouring grape into orange, and orange into the one marked grape, pouring orange into grape, and grape into orange forever. So looking at each other. Yes, we were looking at each other. Yes, we knew each other very well. Yes, we had made love with each other many times. Yes, we had heard music together. Yes, we had gone to the sea together. Yes, we had cooked and eaten together. Yes, we had laughed often day and night. Yes, we fought violence and knew violence. Yes, we hated the inner and outer oppression. Yes, that day we were looking at each other. Yes, we saw the sunlight pouring down. Yes, the corner of the table was between us. Yes, bread and flowers were on the table. Yes, our eyes saw each other's eyes. Yes, our mouths saw each other's mouth. Yes, our breasts saw each other's breasts. Yes, our bodies entire saw each other. Yes, it was beginning in each. Yes, it threw waves across our lives. Yes, the pulses were becoming very strong. Yes, the beating became very delicate. Yes, the calling, the arousal. Yes, the arriving, the coming. Yes, there it was for both entire. Yes, we were looking at each other. This last is a group called The Speed of Darkness. Very short poems, and I'll stop after each. The Speed of Darkness. Whoever despises the clitoris despises the penis. Whoever despises the penis despises the cunt. Whoever despises the cunt despises the life of the child. Resurrection music, silence, and surf. No longer speaking, listening with the whole body. and with every drop of blood overtaken by silence. But that same silence has become speech, with the speed of darkness. Stillness during war, the lake, the unmoving spruces, glints over the water, faces, voices. You are far away, a tree that trembles. I am the tree that trembles and trembles. After the lifting of the mist, after the lift of the heavy rain, the sky stands clear, and the cries of the city risen in day. I remember the buildings are space walled to let space be used for living. I mind this room is space. This drinking glass is space, whose boundary of glass lets me give you drink and space to drink. Your hand, my hand, being space, containing skies and constellations. Your face carries the reaches of air. I know I am space. My words are air. Between, between, the man, act exact. Woman, in curve, senses in their maze, frail orbits, green tries, games of stars, shape of the body, speaking its evidence. I look across at the real, vulnerable, involved, naked, devoted to the present of all I care for, the world of its history leading to this moment. Life, the announcer. I assure you there are many ways to have a child. I, bastard mother, promise you there are many ways to be born. They all come forth in their own grace. Ends of the earth join tonight with blazing stars upon their meeting. These suns fall burning into Asia. Time comes into it. Say it. Say it. The universe is made of stories, not of atoms. Lying blazing beside me, you rear beautifully and up. Your thinking face, erotic body reaching in all its colors and lights. Your erotic face colored and lit. Not colored body and face, but now entire. Color, lights, the world thinking and reaching. The river flows past the city. Water goes down to tomorrow, making its children. I hear their unborn voices. I am working out the vocabulary of my silence. Big bone man, young and of my dream, struggles to get the live bird out of his throat. I am he, am I? Dreaming? I am the bird, am I? I am the throat. A bird with a curved beak. It could slit anything, the throat bird. Drawn up slowly. The curved blades, not large. Bird emerges, wet. Being born, begins to sing. mine eyed await, staring at the broad, rough jewel, the copper roof across the way, thinking of the poet yet unborn in this dark, who will be the throat of these hours. No, of those hours. Who will speak these days, if not I, if not you?
You have been listening to a poetry reading by Muriel Rukeyser, recorded on January 1972 at Better Books. This is John Whiting for Pacifica Radio in London.